In the Springtime of the Year, written by Susan Hill and read by Maggie Ollerenshaw.
Part 1. Chapter 1. She closed the door behind her, and then it was quite silent, quite dark. She stood, and she could smell very faintly the dry smell of the bracken coming over the common. Everything was dry now. For 3 weeks the sun had shone. It tired her. But throughout April and May it had rained, and that too had been tiring, the endless dull pattering onto the cottage roof. She had not expected to notice, certainly not to be disturbed by those things, weather, heat or damp or cloud, night or day, things which existed outside her own self, her own misery. But they had been like burns or abrasions that never healed, irritating her, intruding. She waited until she could see just a little, and then go down the narrow path between the vegetable beds and beyond the fruit trees to where the hens were. There was no sound tonight from the owls in the copse over to the left of the cottage, no stirring in the trees themselves. She thought suddenly, I'm alone. I am entirely alone on this earth. There are no other people, no animals or birds or insects, no breaths or heartbeats. There is no growing. The leaves do not move and the grass is dry. There is nothing. And this was a new feeling. No, not a feeling. Loneliness was a feeling, and fear of the empty house, and of the long days and nights, and the helpless separation from Ben. Feelings. This was different. A condition. A fact. Simply, being absolutely alone. Then a cloud slid off the face of the moon, and there was a little light. She could see the grey trunks of the old fruit trees, and the bunched tops of the elms. There was no colour, but there were shapes. She began to walk slowly down the garden. It was only 9 o'clock. It was the end of August. Each night now she would put the hens into their coop a few minutes earlier, and those minutes would bring the winter forward. She did not want to think of winter. When the donkey brayed from the meadow, she stopped in terror, startled out of herself, almost out of her own body by the suddenness of it, and by the sadness too. For it had always seemed to her something sad and painful, this cry, like a harsh appeal for help, comfort. Though Ben had laughed at her. The donkey was perfectly happy now, he said. How could it not be, with an acre of meadow and the affection they both gave it? And Ben's brother Joe had told her about animals in Africa, hyenas and zebras and jackals, which made even more weird noises, though he had only read about them in books, only imagined the sounds. There was so much Joe had told her, so much that he knew, partly from reading, partly from some mixture of awareness and intuition within him about the world. And Joe's ears were sharper than anyone's. He could tell every bird cry, and their different noises from season to season. He could distinguish the movements of a rabbit, a fox, or a stoat, hidden in the undergrowth. Joe. It was a week, more than a week, since Joe had been. She did not lose track of time so easily now as in those first weeks, when morning and night, Monday and Friday and all the hours between them, had been shuffled together, and with no purpose to any of them. The donkey brayed again, hearing her, and she called back to it softly, no longer startled. Why had Ben bought a donkey?